This is committee of the whole meeting, March 4th, 2013.
Committee of the whole order at 7:23.
Trustee Clemens?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Sandoval?
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Present.
Trustee Tripp?
Present.
Trustee Wazinski?
Yes.
Item 2.1 is approval of minutes in the committee of the whole meeting of February 19th, 2013. Questions or comments?
I have some comments made by trustee earlier. And those comments are not included in the transcript, are not included in the notes. So on that basis, I think they're not quite complete. And I know we don't do a word for word transcript, but I think some of it's the comments concerning the board's position. I don't see any of that discussion in here. Graham did come take a vote on it or come in consensus, but we did have a lot of discussion around it. So I don't know if that needs to be included or not. So at this point, I would like to make a motion to amend the notes from the committee of the whole concerning the group transfer station, that they include the discussion around the board's position.
And that would be under the administration portion, right?
Correct.
I would second that motion if necessary.
Specific language that you would put in there?
I have to review the transcripts, I'm sure. So I will do the review transcripts. So that,
okay. So probably be proper not to approve the meeting minutes tonight.
So. And
make changes to them. And we have motion and second on the floor, so we amend the motion.
Mr. Mayor, it seems like maybe by consensus it's the table item, so it would be appropriate to withdraw the motion to amend so that we can table it to the next meeting.
I'll draw my second. A motion to table.
Motion to table is in order.
Motion to table.
Second.
Motion to table is accepted. Second. Comments. Questions or comments later? Roll call.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval.
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Aye.
Trustee Tripp.
Aye.
Trustee Clemens.
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment for community hall.
Michael 154 Southwest Cambria. Mayor Trustees, with all the discussion right there on Qualco, as I was sitting here for the last couple meetings, I think there's just some clarification within the timeline that I would like to throw out there and see if everyone here agrees with me. The first area of discussion is around the O&M increase, the 25% increase that Qualco was recommending. I feel that Ronald Lake has now gotten a second opportunity to come back and have to discuss it as a board and evoke in my timeline. My understanding of when he used Flaco's minutes was that on 10-19, it was a memorandum sent to all directors and alternates for Flaco that was proposing for the first time a 25% increase to the O&M. And at that point, there was specific information out here that stated that the directors and the alternates should bring this information back to the board for consideration so they had direction on what they needed to do in reference to where the village stood on the vote. Looking at any of the minutes up to this point, I think that there was no discussion in regards to that. What I also noticed is that on the 10-25 Qualco meeting, there was a vote actually taken on the budget, and that budget did include the 25% increase in O&M, and also included a 2.75% salary increase for all SWAT employees. And Ron Lake's voting at was yes. He did vote in favor of the budget and the 25% in that meeting. Then as we go into the November meeting, there was a memo that specifically begged that there was at least 32 municipalities attend because they needed 32 guest votes in order for the O&M approval to go through. From what I gathered, there wasn't a quorum and had to at least get the 32 votes, so within that meeting there was no vote taken for the O&M increase, so therefore it was deferred. My understanding though is that the January meeting there was a vote taken, and within that vote, it failed by one vote. There were 32 members present. It failed by one. And the dissenting vote on that was Ron Lake Park, not because it was Ron Lake. So my question here, as I sat last week and heard all the trustees discuss, everyone was clearly opposed to the increase. My question is that why in two previous occasions did our representatives from SWACO agree to approve the increase? And at no point was any of the information ever brought back to the board. And so after the fact, we now have a second opportunity to vote on it. Just because Ron Lake Park was the dissenting vote, so more than likely there will be another bag letter coming from SWACO to ensure there's enough people out there to get it passed through. So that's my question is, what processes are in place to ensure that directors or delegates that sit on the board, so that either being SWACO, JAWA, whatever the boards they are, that policy-type information is brought back to the board for direction, or is it your understanding that those directors and alternates have carte blanche on making whatever decision on behalf of the board? And that's up for you guys to discuss. I'm just throwing out what I've seen to this point from a timetable. It didn't make sense. When I heard there was such opposition and anger about the increase that there were actually two votes from this municipality in favor of the increase. And so when it got called out in a public meeting, then also there was dissent. That's my only question on the L&L perspective. Regarding the host fee from SWACO and the transfer station, my understanding is that in the November meeting, it was discussed about the transfer station. And I believe the reason Groot brought it up, or not Groot, SWACO brought it up, Groot at that point was threatening to go ahead and file their application at the end of November. And I believe SWACO's recommendation at that point was to go against it because there was not a favorable host agreement at that point negotiated. But my understanding coming out of the meeting there is that SWACO voted to not approve the transfer station or the host agreement at the time, but there was a vote to move forward to continue with the host agreement. And Ron Lake in that vote was yes. So my question is, there's such opposition to the transfer station by the village of Ron Lake, why would we as a municipality then vote to continue negotiating a host agreement? If we didn't feel that the transfer station is beneficial to our residents, a host agreement with SWACO is certainly not beneficial, and Ron Lake fans should have been knowing that. Those are my two questions I have specifically on that. Regarding Trustee Simoncelli's comments at the beginning, what I specifically heard sitting out here in the audience is that there was definitely four distinct dissenters of the six trustees, not including yourself and Trustee Levinsky. What I also heard loud and clear is that this village board will spend little to no money to fight it. That's when the mayor granted me an opportunity to speak, in which I asked, is, does the village A need to take a stand, and B, does the ceremonial no vote mean nothing besides just that ceremonial no vote? So I asked that if you discuss this further today, that if you're in sure opposition, number one, are there other municipalities that are against, and if there is, which ones there are, from what I'm hearing, there are none, being that everyone seems to vote in favor of it. And ultimately, if the village is against it, what is the village going to do? Because as I talk to residents, and as I stated in the last meeting, the residents don't care that we vote no. The residents want to know what we're doing to stop it. That's what they're concerned with. So those are the questions that need to come up. If the village is taking a stance of no, either we're A, going to convince enough members in SWACO not to approve a host agreement, which I'm sure is going to be almost an impossibility, because no other municipality besides the village of Brown Lake probably honestly even cares about the transfer station. Design is not going to care, it's not in their backyard. So I don't think we're going to be able to go from a SWACO perspective. So it seems like the only opportunity that the village if they truly want to take a stance on this, is that the village would, again, have to be the lone wolf to go out there and expend resources and dollars to try to fight this on their own on behalf of the residents, and ultimately, is the board here up for to extend that, to move forward on that, or are we just going to say no, and then ultimately not do anything about it? So, those are some questions I have other things.
Let the record show that Trustee Wodinski arrived at 7:32. And clearly from the earlier discussion, we do need to talk about the FLAPO and the pre-transfer station options a little bit more. It's clear that we have two trustees that were unsure of their position. Position quite clearly. We have updates later on in the agenda on that. We'll start with the public works facility, capital assets and engineering, the streetlight pole care purchase.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, members of the board. Before I get into that item, I very definitely would like to thank you. We're supporting our request to have a good quality use on end loader. And I don't know if it's an OEM or not, since we started renting it, this guy with a pavement in front of life more often than not. So it's definitely been put to considerable good use. What the mayor did not say in extracting $1,000 deduction. And he and I had to volunteer all of us as village members to wash their equipment for the next year.
What are we referring to, Ren? which equipment?
Washing their equipment. What's that track?
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
That's a little bit of weapon, but in all sincerity, thank you. There are approximately 1,340 street lights in the public right-of-way in the village. The village owns and maintains 1,079 of those ComEd limited number. And approximately 980 of our street lights are the decorative type manufactured by a company called Beacon Products. As the agenda item indicates, we've had on average about 3 per year hit, severely damaged, knocked over, and there is unfortunately a lead time of about 6 to 8 weeks, it's been as much as 14 weeks, so I'm told, that this company does manufacture several different types, and apparently they've chosen to not have substantive stockage. They have a variety of different colors that are available, so they prep and paint each one once it's ordered and transport them to water. So the way around that lag time lapse in having a functional street light, we have some stoppage as proposed, and hopefully more to that comfort that the vast majority of these are covered 100% by the insurance the responsible party. So we hope the board would consider allowing us to make an initial investment as we then use that stockage, we would then place an order, presumably being able to use the insurance company with the offending party's money to cover replacement.
Now you're asking for have three of them on him, three poles and the fourth and various. what came to the number three versus keeping one, because I'm assuming one gets knocked out, typically not knocked out at the exact same time, so we could have that legally of having a 6 to 8 window if we just replace the one, and then once that one's out of our inventory, we just replace the one and put it back in our stock.
Certainly there's nothing magic about three, and that was certainly the factor to when a hole would get knocked down and would we be able to get by with just one single luminaire, that's the vast majority. There are some with two luminaires on a crossing.
So would it be maybe, is there any discount for purchasing the three if we get a couple more at the same time versus if we just ordered one with the crossbar and the luminary, the one complete set at the time?
In my discussions with the authorized representative, gentleman that works in the Chicago area, he did not mention anything as far as the quantity discount.
And then in the, because you go back with the 3 years, eight of them, at any time during those 3 years were multiple down at the same time, or were those all the singular occurrences?
Yes.
There was multiple.
We have that at the that time. And I give you the exact time frame.
No.
Probably 2-3 years ago, we went through the same scenario with a loss rising reserve stock, so that if the poles were knocked down, we have to replace them. We did have two down at that time. Ron, we've got one down currently.
That's correct.
So would one of these three be to replace the one that's currently down?
We have proceeded to place an order for that one. That's Nipperson and Valley Lakes Boulevard on the north side.
Okay.
No luminaire.
So that one's on order.
Correct.
And this would be three for the reserve.
So are we comfortable with the three then, or would we be comfortable taking it considering, I mean, this has been 3 years and eight of them have been knocked out over the course of that period of time?
We did have the two that were in stock that got used and then nobody said, hey, we're out.
Replenished.
It was replenished, so I guess it's the board's pleasure.
You want to use the money that we're advancing while we wait for the insurance to reimburse. So why I kind of think that maybe if we have had consensus with two, we haven't had any consensus before the two. Sorry, I know you're a district president, so it's kind of more.
Two, we know more than that, that's true.
At any one time, so maybe
but
you just drop it down to
more
two.
More likely that we had two.
So maybe you have that reference where there's multiple, but.
Of moving forward with having in stock replacement holes, and we're asking for a preference on two or three moving forward to board.
I would like to see two.
We've got two, three, so let's say two. Everybody's good with two. Contract bid.
I think I could prop it up here. Hopefully that's sufficiently visible for the board. We have had a landscape contract now for a couple of years, and we've had good service. Acres Group has been the company that provided mowing, herbicide, mulching, variety of tasks. We could have renewed the contract, extended it for 1 year, but I had two concerns that reflected in the agenda item summary. The way the payment structured, and this became very evident during the drought of last summer, we were paying the same price whether they needed to cut the grass or not, and that just did not seem right. And I had discussions with the assigned, call it manager from Acres, and that went nowhere. So very definitely with Mike Zimmerman's at least considerations, guidance, want to restructure that we have to pay for service that we actually get. The other consideration, there's some linear areas in high visibility locations that were not in the contract, abutting a road right away that would not be a major change to the acreage as colored here, but would get past the limitations that we public works have in terms of getting people and equipment and skill capabilities out to make those visible linear areas something we'd be proud of. So I want to move forward to rebid to get a new landscape contract, and I feel quite confident that there will be quite a bit of competition. The contract now expires, as indicated in the agenda item summary, approximately $59,000. Funded out of general fund, Bright Meadows Special Service Area Water Sewer Fund, and our Metro agreement. Cannot tell the board, will the low response bidder be under that, slightly over, but definitely as we have moved to contract service with good reason, we need to stay that course in maintaining the approximately 140 acres that's in this area. About 60 of those are mowed. I'd be happy to answer the questions.
Tom, could you just point to where we are exactly on the geographic agenda?
Certainly. And they get more redated. We're right here. It is all grounds. The blue is the metro areas. Most of the areas taken care of are in the orange. That does not mean they're all funded that way. In fact, some of it's water sewer, like our small lift stations are reservoirs where my finger is. So,
Ron, you're fairly confident we can get a pay for actual service contract?
contract?
I think there are plenty of landscape contractors of sufficient size that will submit a bid. Where the risk is and how that influences is I don't have that foreknowledge.
Right.
What are we, based on the uncertainty we have here, what are we budgeting for next year?
Same amount.
And if we don't get favorable bids, we could also always redo the terms of the scope of work.
Correct. Yeah. Or negotiate some minor changes. Again, a consultant with Mike Zimmerman in advance on that. Thank you.
Everybody's okay moving that forward though.
There's no home court action, Mayor. We're gonna set it out for bids, so you know, let's make that serious decision with something.
And if we get acceptable bids and
right, absolutely, you know, make it back on most of them.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
With respect to the Bright Meadows, we're putting Bright Meadows into this bid even though they pay that.
They all, Bright Meadows, the pink area, is already included in the now expired landscape contract, and Steve helped me out how that fund acts.
So the special service area gets set up, our fund pays for that.
Right. So they have their own contract, so we lump them in with our contract. Okay, so if that's true, they're all the same from the village? The more you come to Bright Meadows and not the other.
They disbanded their homeowners association.
Okay.
Created the SSA to manage the maintenance of the urban land within the subdivision.
This is their declaration that they pay for their maintenance on their properties. So when they disbanded, the cost on that rather than just giving it to the village required that the village collect the cost for it, which they were supposed to be paying in their association dues or fees, whichever. Once disbanded, the fees weren't being taken to from the homeowners. So the village has asked an SFA to take those monies to cover the cost that the village now had to do for landscaping.
Okay, so they have to pay still their SFA
right. Just for their maintenance. Yeah. Okay.
That's something to understand, but not the entire village.
Okay, so
and we still keep those costs separate for the areas, so we do know what's being charged to the SSA.
But we put it all together to hopefully get a larger discount or better pricing.
Yeah, some bit
sure. Another quick thing on this thing, and this was because of this, our past experience with a can we set some clear guidelines as to what as a board we're looking for if we do have bids that come in relatively close within each other for this if we just want to get a bigger contract? I don't know if it's something that we can how we determine it, but we just figure it out so that we all kind of have a clear agreement as to this is priority number one, priority number two, if we're within this percentage, the local business get it over outside business.
I'm
we don't
sure
have these people going back and forth.
Do we have a local vendor for landscaping?
I'm not sure.
Would someone be kind enough to tell them the local name?
Village Rustic. Rustic, our residents and residential businesses.
There are some small landscape contractors that have a Round Lake resident. From my knowledge, none of them currently have the capability to take on the acreage that's already included in sad commentary, but that's at least my
And I guess it is my understanding, maybe wrongfully so, that low response would be in the warning gesture.
I think the thing is, if you want active competition, you have to be very careful on what you try to set as conditions for what.
And that I understand. I just also want to be fair. You know, we do have local business, our village residents, somebody run by a resident of our village, whether they actually have their business slightly outside of they are a resident, or they have their business located within our village. All part of contributing to our revenues, exactly. It's our revenue stream, and if we can get back more to our revenue stream versus sending out to somebody else, and we're within reason, a certain percentage, or how we feel, that's what we're trying to do, we're going to go with a certain percentage, and for some reason they did come back slightly higher than our lowest bidder, so we can still want to get help support our local runway.
My understanding is that typically when we go out to bid for things like this, the Ron particularly would bring back usually the top three bids, and we would see the totals and they would make a recommendation. Okay, for some reason not something thinking of the bid or other very big, because this is the number of states very big and bid pay where it comes through an issue or tedious. Okay.
This is
the
normal one that
we've been doing before.
Thank you. Anything else? Thanks.
On to special events, Arbor Day. Nonverbal communication. I think Trustee Wachinski told me on a given presentation. When we met Friday. And this is just putting to paper a variety of thoughts, considerations, or feedback. I would like to make just a few opening summary comments. An initial discussion, brainstorming session, and Trustee Wachinski, myself, and our part-time administrative staff person, Laura Rover, who I think many of you know has helped out in past Arbor Day celebration, very enthusiastic. She will definitely be an asset wherever we ultimately choose to go. As discussed at our last board meeting, I believe we agreed we would have the celebration the day after with the National Arbor Day, Friday 26th, on Saturday 27th. Thought at the moment, somewhere around 9 a.m. start and about noon time. And the purpose is fundamentally, as other communities have done, to establish and communicate the importance of trees to our environment and that we care about trees that are existing and we will hopefully expand and generations to come. There's some objectives that through our discussion we came up with, and we actually proposed a theme, and this is more about the future, our next generation. As indicated, a variety of events, not providing as much emphasis on tree shrubs, bushes, as giveaway. We had approximately 270 trees, shrubs, bushes plants that we were able to obtain from a variety of local nurseries, and certainly that was most appreciated. From my perspective, that being the first part of the day celebration here, the last year then, it was, I'm here to get my free tree. Did not seem to really engage the attendees. And at least from my perspective, there ought to be emphasis on education, learning, enjoyment. So I'll take responsibility for proposing a quiz that would be distributed in advance. I don't think we need to tonight talk details on how to do that. But it becomes a family event, hopefully, in the Round Lake environment where young children, hopefully, and their parents will go out and on a designated map, so they go to the right places and answer questions. That being some learning, they bring that completed quiz to the Arbor Day celebration, and hopefully we can get enough trees where they, the participant bringing the quiz, would get a tree taken with. As I donated seedlings last year, purchasing them from the Arthur Day Foundation, I'm going to do that again. To me, an extremely popular event with young children planting a seedling under the guidance, supervision, and fun by a number of you sitting in the dais. From a learning perspective, some presentations as indicated, and again, it's just initial thoughts, learning people, and that beats me out, talking about the importance of trees. There's a variety of emerald ash borer presentations, and have care for trees. I believe we can obtain those presenters in grads. As we talked about the need for replacing ash trees, this thought has at least come into my mind. We have considerable acreage at the Public Works Police Facility that we could start a little nursery, and so if that has support, that nursery providing tree stock some years in the future for replacement parkway trees. Sorry, I lost my train of thought on that. Assuming we can get a few sizable trees, as we did last year, a raffle to have it a fundraiser. We had four sizable trees and a raffle off last year. I believe it was like $180, $250.
We had $230.
So, and then on the back page, just briefly, refreshments of some variety. And then the last thing listed is what do we need to do if this proposal is worthy of further consideration? How do we make it happen? Do you have to answer any questions?
I'm just going to touch base with Mark, and I know we went through this a year ago. The donation letters
that I had given you as an example, did we currently cannot use them?
We have something, we edited something that we sent out. But yeah, you're specifically, you know, we massaged them with the help of Mike, so.
We could use them and sit down and go over them and just see, I mean, even if it's Kool-Aid or if it's, you know, or free or whatever, we can get them out to some of the local businesses.
Let me go back and refresh and see what we got. Like, whatever we have, obviously, then we broke down, we can get to you for sure.
Then the next question is to use the $230 that we did make on the raffle. Is that something that can be used at this function or not?
That would be a poor decision. It's not appropriate, but it's in reserve. I was asked to reserve some money for future other than any celebrations.
Okay. Was there provided the gas? Okay. Obviously, as we explained about the refreshments. Change in your story? Stick to that story?
Yes.
We don't have any budget. He said appropriate. I was just pulling his leg.
You don't appropriate.
We don't have more money than what your officer ran. That's all. Sorry.
Okay. As far as the refreshments, further, closer to maybe in a month, we'll send something to you if anybody that wants to bring it to that. Anybody that would want to volunteer to do whatever they want to do involved, kind of put on a little sheet and sign up at that time. I think that's it. Was just Kool-Aid, fruit snacks, chips, cookies. I think that's about it. Should we grab your stuff?
Oh, actually, we have the popcorn maker.
Yes, that's on here. Ron's going to verify with Kevin if we can use that again, and the speaker.
Sure.
Go ahead, Tom. Who did you have to sing last year? I know it was Yule, but...
Who did from the school?
Was it Marcel?
Yeah, Marcel.
That's who I thought it was.
I guess I trust Zinski. I would say this, disappointed that after I knew I was a member of this committee, I was not notified to attend your Friday meeting. I'm very disappointed that I was able to put my input in your discussion. A few days after then, I could have told you who said.
I was under the understanding that maybe I am incorrect. Ron sent out an email to all of us inviting us and asking what time was good for. That's my misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And the other disappointing item on was when you suggested at the last meeting that anybody could attend and participate, and I suggested we need to publicize it, that you quickly withdrew the offer and said the liaison should meet them.
That's right.
You didn't say good night.
Oh, I did not.
You stood right there and said
I did not. At the public meeting, I don't believe I said it should come to the committee at all for discussion. There was nothing said at the official meeting outside the committee at all.
Anyway, again, my misunderstanding, I saw Ron and emailed both of you along with myself. My apologies. The next meeting is set for 1:30 on the 15th at Public Works. You are more than welcome.
I'm sorry, when is the next meeting?
15th.
Will we be publicizing that so anyone can attend, or is it going to be limited to just liaisons?
Yeah. Anybody can come.
And we need to make sure that's published. If we have committee meetings with regular committees like we used to, then that wouldn't be an issue. We chose not to continue the committee meeting, so we are where we are. Refreshment-wise, I talked to Esteban at the Blues Bakery about partnering with them to provide some cookies for refreshments at that. Any functions that we have, he would be glad to work with us on coming up with something that would be affordable for us. I told him that I would sponsor purchasing them from him to be able to support our businesses. He also mentioned he would be glad to work with us on any cakes for any events that we have, and that he is worked with churches and other groups providing cakes, so if we've got anything that we would like to consider using them for, we would appreciate it. Ron, historically, I wasn't able to attend last year, but the two prior years, I did go online and get some of the historic information on Arbor Day, and in my short presentation, I tried to challenge the people and educate them on where Arbor Day came from, and also tried to get them to sing the songs. John was more successful this year on that, apparently, after a couple of years of prodding people, so I agree with the encouraging more participation.
I hear you say you're volunteering to lead the singing?
I know the first few words to get it started. We had cheat sheets passed out, and if we get background music, we might get a few people that are crazy enough to join in.
There is, fortunately, quite a lot of information available to the Arbor Day Foundation, and I've been a member for some while, so we're not necessarily charting new territory here. You know, we're going to shift in focus.
Takes a little bit of work on this program to put together now. Good start.
Thank you.
Hold up. We're also off your comments. I thought we were in a committee meeting, first of all. So we do have a committee meeting, but we just wanted to have a lengthier one if needed as needed and elected by that committee at that time, so that we don't have our board meetings going to 11 or extra long hours, but on an as needed basis and determined by the committee at that time. So it's a little bit of a in regards to Arbor Day, I like that answer. Really, yeah, I think that really does bring something to engage people who are more active versus just waiting around for the optional grasses to begin. Love it. Starting the PW nursery. Really like the thing. Would we be able to, if we do go this route, would this be another option where those that were coming to get a tree, or they complete the survey and don't have room for a tree at their property, or they live in a property and can't have a tree, where they can take the tree that they did by completing the little bit and donate it at that time to the village, and we'll plant it in the nursery then, because they actually do a fruit planting of a large book. And that's kind of like the way that the best one would go.
Very definitely, if the board supports the concept of us having our own small nursery, I would like to have this Arbor Day celebration be the groundbreaking, and I had not thought of the suggestion you just mentioned. People would get a tree for having taken the live, and hopefully can have a fun family thing. And same family then will be invited to go out back with some supervision and plant their tree, and somehow we can identify it so that they can see it grow up in our nursery, and then wherever Dalton Oak is planted in a park with a certificate, some low cost.
Yeah, I really like that. And also seedlings. Is there any way I know, unfortunately, once again, not a green phone, the one that my son planted, I did a week because I'm very bad, so I forget to water them. Is there things that we can also do about the kids actually digging in some dirt and plant some around? I mean, once again, I know they're not sturdy, they do require an extra care for growing those so that we can actually kind of grow those seedlings this way. Because I think we've discussed before in the past that a lot of those seedlings don't get into old caps to certain stages of them and people can wind up in the hands of people like me who are not the best to plant.
I think we can try just about anything. I will tell you from my lack of brain thumb, seedlings are tough to get started, and they definitely do take that tender loving care right from the beginning. Should have bought a picture. There's protective plastic molding devices for seedlings that are planted before you know it's there, so you hopefully won't mow it or trample it. So there's a variety of things we can try on a low-cost and no-cost basis.
My senior question is already in the document or information coming in for the people to begin with. If we give them that opportunity, but it looks like, I feel like myself, I'd like to have my child try doing this, but really when it comes down to the plan back at my house, it's like, great. Now, I'm going to do it, but I do like that nursery idea where, you know, one hand by hand, okay.
Well, my last year is one of the donors, Kip Evans. In fact, he gave us like 65 or so different tree plantings. And he has offered, as I mentioned to the board before, he has offered to help us start a small nursery. Some of his methods start with very small pots and these seedlings. And instead of actually burying them directly into the ground, you put the pot partially into the ground, and then I guess it's a mulch or something that goes up over it and it protects. And then for the seedlings in particular, since they're so fragile, we would cover all of those seedlings for winter with probably a burlap or something. He's familiar, obviously, with how to do that. He's offered to come and help us and teach us how to do that. And the children that want to be a part of it, he's offered to do that. I did ask him again, Vicki, if he would be willing to help again this year. And he will get back to us shortly. I don't know how many pieces he would, but again, it'll be the smaller trees, which if they wanted to be donated back, would probably be perfect for our nursery.
I think the idea is if we can get that started with some of the older children that are interested, mm-hmm. and then those older children could help teach the smaller ones because they've learned the process and can relate better to the smaller people than they can be.
If we could reach out to some of the community groups, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, these guys and girls actually get their badges and whatnot, and if they were helping us throughout the year to help maintain and keep the nursery growing, first they'd be learning a valuable trade or whatever you want to call it, the information. Second, they would actually be some of our help, and as we all know, kids are really good about pointing out no, you need to do this now. You said we had to do this, so it might actually be helpful.
So my only question is, so we have $203 now. How much do we think we need to get through to make sure that that's possible?
$229.95.
We actually didn't use any money last year.
Right.
No, we didn't. Everything donated. But I will say,
but I mean,
we didn't do letters last year.
Right.
I actually personally went to all of these different vendors to face-to-face contact, and the request that we were trying to partner with our local businesses so that they could join in the community of our fellowship as well. And they were so happy to be a part of that and to be considered for the help. So I'm not saying that the letters aren't, you know,
I don't think there are any happy to lot.
But would you be planning to do
personal contact?
It's the personal contact that got
the donation free if they want to donate something else. You know, even if they donate $50 and we go buy.
Well, and we had one donator that gave us cash to use as we needed.
Right.
So, you know, again, but it was all done physically, face-to-face, handshake. So I don't know if your letters are going to get quite as much. I think the personal touch really helped greatly. We ended up with a lot of material and a lot of things given, the crayons and so many different things donated.
Donated from Best Bar.
They were these plastic containers that we drilled holes into for some of the larger plantings that Kip gave us. Because Kip had the plantings, he didn't have all the pots. And I know, as funny as it sounds, even KFC, those buckets were great for some of the bigger ones. They aren't going to be available. Their new corporate standards don't allow them to give those away. So we would be looking for something a little bit larger.
Okay.
for some of the plantings that were using chip again. But I can also say if we start now, Home Depot and a few of those other places and some of the other nurseries have their cast-off pots before they begin their new season. You might be able to get enough for us to use if that were the case.
Thank you.
Ms. Dan?
Actually, let me get a couple of questions to it. The intersection sign, would we be just adding the ribbons with just the changes on the date and time, or the time? Okay. So we're not doing new signs then, we're just doing that. And then we're just going to go at the intersections. We're not going to, I mean, where we normally put them. Are these signs going up where we normally put them? The key locations that we usually use for signs, because it says intersections.
As I remember, we had 17, two of them disappeared, so I believe we have 15. Some are in okay condition, some have seen their better days, but that becomes an expense. As briefly indicated in what I handed out, CTY website and the posters on businesses, flyers to the schools, churches, trying to help spread the word sufficiently in advance, and whatever posters, excuse me, signs we still have that are usable, change the date, what we did last year, and put those out at the best intersection.
How many signs do you think we would need to use them?
We're starting with new ones, 40.
We just went from 15 to 40. Okay.
You asked.
I did.
Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
To discussion of class or state. Right, you have a presentation for us?
I can, yes. Mayor, good evening, and trustee. Thank you for having me here representing the Ground Lake Lake Management Organization coming before you. Before. My name is Doug Devo. I live in Round Lake, and I live on Round Lake. Sometimes that perspective gives you some different insights onto how the lake functions within as a whole system. I'd also like to introduce behind me Kathy Pappas from the Lake County Health Department. She's here to help answer questions that you might have related to the phosphorus ban. Essentially, what we're before you for is seeking a ban on lawn fertilizer in which the middle number, there's three numbers represented on the fertilizer bag. The first is nitrogen, the second is phosphorus, and the last is potassium. The phosphorus in this part of Illinois is hardly needed by lawns, but it, within the watershed, within water that drains into Round Lake or drains into various streams, Squaw Creek, whatever it is, it causes problems. We've experienced problems on Round Lake the last couple of years, and my reason in being before you tonight is to ask that you would reconsider a ban on that type of fertilizer. Now, many places have already, ACE and many places, if you read through your packet, have already made fertilizers available that don't have that middle number, that middle number is zero for phosphorus. So people are becoming aware that it's not a necessary thing on the lawn. I believe you are also provided with a lot of model ordinances that are in place surrounding our lake. We already have Round Lake Beach that instituted an ordinance about 5 years ago in Round Lake Park. So if our village comes on board, we'll have surround Round Lake with villages that are supporting this phosphorus ban. I just wanted to mention to you, if you go to the website, to your village website, our village website, and look at our site, we have a link on there from the management organization. It's a very concise and succinct presentation of why I hope you'll consider this and why our lake management organization hopes that you will. If you get a chance to look through that in the next few days and carefully consider it, I'm going to, in a few minutes, give you a picture here that shows the conditions that existed on Round Lake the last two summers. If you recall, I tried to come before you occasionally to give you the update on what the commission is doing, and I tried to give you a little one-page thing that you can read. I think two summers ago, I came before you just before we had a huge outbreak of the Osteoporia, the blue-green algae. If you don't live on, well, now is a good time to pass it before you. I'll pass it here on Dr. Tequila. Again, that picture is posted within our Lake Commission link on your website under blue-green algae. You'll see that picture. This is what it's been like three times in the last 2 years. Prior to that, I've lived out on the lake about 27 years, and it hadn't been a problem. But we're experiencing problems. It's not all because of that phosphorus in the fertilizer. There are other things that contribute. But this is something that's easy to control. So I would request you that you carefully consider that, and I hope you'll move ahead with that ban, especially since in many places it's instituted already. It would just say, like you're interested in the trees that you've just shown and the trees being planted that our namesake lake is being protected in a similar way. The algae that you see growing on that picture surrounds the lake. Wherever the wind is, it gets blown to that side. There were recommendations 2 years ago to close down one beach on the lake because of that. At that time, there weren't findings to show that it caused any health problems, but it clings to it's sloppy. Nobody wanted to be in the water when that oscillatory was there. I would suggest that the blooms that we've had of this algae are probably going to continue. You can help diminish the amount of those with the fertilizer ban. I want to read you, don't want to take up a lot of your time, but this fertilizer is very, very nebulous. It's like clouds in the water. If you try to get it out, it's very difficult. You can use pitchforks, people try pumping it, all different things. It gets in the pump of bolts and causes them to overheat and whatnot. This is from a neighbor of mine, two doors down. He took these pictures, the one that's before you, took about 10 more, and sent them to our management organization saying, we need to do something, we need to do something. This is what he wrote last May 12th. We have to stand up and fight about our lakefront property. We are now paying higher taxes for the right to live on a cesspool. I expect some weeds and occasional debris, but this algae is making our lake useless for any recreation. Something has to be done with our tax dollars to clean up this mess, or our property values will plummet while our real estate taxes increase. I would probably be in concurrence with that, and I went a little further in looking at your packet and noted that you've got a zero budget item here by which you can help improve the lake. So it doesn't even take any tax money. It takes your support of our efforts to help improve the environment. If you have questions for me or Kathy, I'd be glad to hire to answer them.
Mark was telling us that as of 2010 ended, that there's a statewide ban on commercial application of phosphorus.
Yes.
So that has made a huge difference, I would imagine.
Yes, I believe that that really won't strengthen any ordinances that are in place because they'll have the state to kind of back them up. I know that a lot of, originally, it seemed that a lot of the municipalities were kind of hesitant to enact this because of not having it within the state that the phosphorus ban was in place. So now that that's happened, it is a phosphorus ban, but it sounds like they're still concerned that people are able, you know, like not in commercial applicators, but like homeowners and people within the watershed can still go out and buy these fertilizers that do contain phosphorus and bring them in and then use them on the lawn. And so I think that, you know, that will help in that aspect.
And the Lake County Board has now passed an ordinance restricting use of phosphorus fertilizers?
They have not. I think that they have just decided that with it being on the state book, that that was good enough. And I haven't had a chance to discuss this thoroughly to find out any other reason, but it's my understanding that since that state ban came through that they decided that that was good enough. A lot of the lakes are public or privately in the county, so it's almost like it would be more of a municipality thing than a county. And since, like, really, we're not regulatory people at the lake management unit either, so, I mean, we can only educate people. And it has definitely been found that the more phosphorus that water bodies have, that the more algae that you might have present. So the more phosphorus, the more times you're going to have nutrient phosphorus present.
Is there anything that phosphorus is actually going to be more beneficial for? So by the time we stick with the sand plate, but now we're not getting the phosphorus, that we're going to see something else to scale?
No, as a matter of fact, our systems are usually limited by phosphorus, and right now we just have such a, an extra supply of phosphorus. So you're getting, algal growth or plant growth. And so, it's just trying to remove that source. It's just such an easy thing to do. The other limiting nutrient that really kind of controls algae and plant growth is nitrogen, but due to some of the sources coming from atmospheric nitrogen, so it's just much harder to control. This is just a really easy way to control a nutrient that's entering into the lake. And, like I kind of said, it's just been found through the studies that the more phosphorus that's within a lake, the more algae. And then the more blue-green algae that can also, you get like almost a shift in community composition, and it can become more of these blue-green algae. And some of them are known to they have the capability of releasing toxins into the water. So, it is something to definitely consider. And if it's a way to, have something where the village can protect the lake from the usage of these fertilizers by individual homeowners, et cetera. I think that's the...
It's also noted in the packet of examples that have been provided, notes about exceptions for like those that have like flower beds and agricultural or their own little garden that they're growing.
Right.
So that is an essential thing for those.
Oh, yeah. Because, soil tests, most of the farmers now do have to provide a soil test in order to put fertilizers on their soils. And not only do they require that, these farmers are more than glad to do that because they don't want to spend money on these fertilizers if they don't need them. So they're very keen on all of that. And as a gardener, too, I know that I would submit every 5 years that I soil talk to the state to have my soil test and see what I need for my garden. So I think most gardens do that.
I think the concept is good. Concentrating on educating the public on the harms that phosphorus does to the environment is the key goal. My issue with an ordinance is, from what I've heard, there is very little enforcement from the communities that actually have an ordinance, and to try to spend enough money to follow through and have experts chasing down people that are using it, the enforcement part of the ordinance is where I have concerns. I understand that Barrington has a resolution supporting it, and going to the education, if we can get the education out to people that it's harmful, don't use it, we as a village support preventing the use or limiting it to necessary flowers and vegetable gardens and things like that. Educating people is a lot more beneficial than trying to enforce the ordinance. And it seems like the main thing that the other communities require is that the retail stores have a sign saying it's illegal to use it in the village. Other than that, it doesn't seem like anybody is doing much for enforcement. So it's more the education side that would really benefit.
And I would be more than happy to offer as a group from the health department kind of provide information on that.
I share the same concern enacting an ordinance that we're not going to enforce doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The other question I have is around, so in your materials you indicate that one of the other sources of phosphorus is pet waste. Do those studies indicate the percentage of phosphorus that's ending up in our water as a result of fertilizer versus pet waste? Is there a way to distinguish? And I know we do have a lot of pests in the area, and I know it's not strong in the way.
To address what you said at first, I'm a man who thinks people should have liberty to do within reason what makes sense within their yard. But since the phosphorus in the lawn fertilizer does serve no effective purpose, and since you're just coming out and making a statement that I'm not looking for enforcement, I'm looking for the education. I think the ideas that you mentioned are pivotal. When people know that it winds up in the lake, they've seen 2 years in a row now what happens on the lake, and more people are utilizing the lake. Now, as a side note, I'm not trying to sidestep your question about pet waste, but as a side note, I think this year is going to be an improved year. Last year with the extreme heat and so little rainfall, all the nutrients were concentrated in that lake. The water didn't come over the spillway for a number of months until quite late in the fall. So everything stewed there, evaporated, and we had an intensifying situation. That's maybe why there were two blooms. Now with the additional snow and whatnot that we've had, I think it's going to be a better year. We're not seeing some of the indicators that I have seen previously. Pet weights are certainly going to contribute anywhere within the watershed if they're not picked up. But again, when people are provided bags and whatnot, then they do that. I mean, within the parks. So it is an educational thing, and it's multifaceted in what you're trying to accomplish. So you can't just do this one thing over here. You have to go and get the trench keys to it. There's huge numbers of geese that are in the lake. And that's just a pet peeve of mine, that in the winter we can do something about it. In the summer it's more difficult. They're federally protected. What do you do? This is something we can do. It costs very little.
I'd like to see if we'll volunteer at our more success with our Arbor Day celebration, even in the hometown stuff, because this is all about our hometown. And if we can help protect our lake, that'd be great. And then also maybe we discuss other options as to what type of, maybe if there is a type of chemical treatment that we need to do something where we can ask for a donation to be set up to a special fund for this. Well, we do these events, or we do a special raffle like we're doing for trees and things like that, which supports towards treatment of the lake, and at least help mitigate it and help speed along the recovery process.
There are some biological ones that were mentioned to us. I was involved in trying to get some stuff done on Bay's Channel with the new Washington Street construction, and Lake County Health Department was letting us know then about some biological things. And the guy that took that picture, did, he's retired, so he's got time to spend on research. He did a lot of research, and we thought about contributing lakefront owners in that area doing like a little test thing, because you don't have to be licensed for this particular product, a biological product. Just kind of curtaining across our little cove and seeing if, to see what happens there. 2 years ago, Round Lake Park did an actual weed control, a chemical weed control in front of their beach area. It was kind of after the fact, this stuff lasts 4 or 5 days. Then it turns brown and ugly, breaks down and goes away, and say, how could it ever have been this bad? So there are things that could work. The problem is, again, the amount of acreage that you're dealing with, probably it's at this juncture, like our management group doesn't have that much money to work with, but maybe the property owners. So, and certainly our... We have a meeting Thursday night with the Lake Management Group. I'll let them know of your ideas and having some sort of a presence at the Arbor Day to see if we can move this forward.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I know you come here to talk, and I do appreciate it, because every time I did, it's a little bit more information. And, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
I think we want to support the effort. I really want to put supporting it other than we agreed on education.
And the resolution.
Supporting.
So, Mayor, if you put it out, we based on the Barrington resolution.
That makes sense.
General statement.
Okay. Anything else on that before we move on? Please, the intergovernmental agreement for utilization of electronic computer-aided dispatch system.
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, the agenda item summary that you have before you involves the intergovernmental agreement with Lake County Emergency Call Phone System Board and the use of our computer-aided dispatch that is controlled by the board. This agreement is essentially the same as you've always seen, with one change. The revision allows for automatic renewals after the expiration of the 2015 in lieu of a renewal every 2 years. It has a clause in there that we could allow, would allow us to terminate the agreement if we decide. We're recommending that the board adopt the resolution.
So why do we think this is advantageous to us?
This is the computer in the squad cars that we get all of our calls that keep all those records throughout the whole county. The automatic renewal, I don't know what the advantage is to us more than to them by not having to wait for it every year, every 2 years.
So we normally renew it every year anyway.
Every 2 years.
Every time it comes up.
I moving that forward. Who has the computers? You or?
The next item, suggested for this, the mayor members of the board, is the purchase and installation of computers in the department. This year, in the computer replacement plan, there are 6 desktop computers that were originally bought in 2007 that are due for replacement. We attempted to get 2 price quotes from IT companies. The reason we pursued it was from the We only received 1 response back, and that was from Current Technologies. Current Technologies quoted the computers at $728.03 each, for a total of all 6 at $4,368.18. The installation price quote, they quoted 36 hours at $112.50 each hour, for a total of $4,050. The total for the project, if you accept Current technology quote, is $8,418.18. One word about the installation. They told me that some computers may not pay for 6 hours a piece to install them. Historically, it has taken that long on the system to install it, but as they get better, it could go down a little bit, so we wouldn't have to pay all of that. But the potential is there to have to pay. We tried to get quotes from Dell and Best Buy and HH Dragon. One time I go online, the computer would be there, the next time it's gone. So I didn't want to come to you with a quote. If I happen to find it, I would want to have it lower and then not be able to find it. So I didn't want to miss it. Because that's what was happening.
Installation, is that done and not to exceed?
Yeah.
So why, you said historically it's taken 6 hours per computer, what can you attribute to that?
We have, because of the computer replacement plan and the ages of computers, they don't always talk to them. It's on the network, they're not just standalone computers. So they have to talk to each other, and we have ghost profiles, because not everybody has their own computer for themselves. The difference is with this one, only 2 of those have that, so it shouldn't be as hard to set them up as the other ones we bought last year, which were used by 20 different people.
And then my only other question is, so why Dell? Is it just because that's the only quote we received?
We asked them for Dell. We talked about it collectively, and we asked for Dell because the computers that we bought that were not a brand name were not very good. And so we were looking for something that we know is going to last another 7 years, 6 or 7 years, and be able to upgrade them when we need without having to go through a lot of trouble to keep them going. But that's what we're hoping.
You had Lenovo last time. That was recommended IBM off-ramp. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason for the increased installation or the recommendation of not using those again, too, was because some of the software that the IBM Lenovo's had in there that didn't communicate well. So that's why Chief is saying that there's likely a reduced cost, too, for installation of less than 6 hours. And that's just the one with the profiles, but that communication issue we had between the Lenovo's and our networks.
Any other questions? Okay, move that forward then?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, the Falco and Group Transfer Station updates. We contacted Walter Willis, who is not available for tonight's meeting. He is willing to attend our March 18th meeting. we discussed the budget, so we had to change thoughts. He was hoping that we would be able to take action to give direction to our representatives to be able to vote at their March 28th meeting. So would we be comfortable putting something on the agenda for approval subject to Walter's presentation, or what is the board's pleasure in that?
I think that the number of questions that we had would be few of us to hear the budget told by him. I think everyone would get a better understanding of it. I think he could also give us a much better understanding of what our part is as a WALCO member. That would be probably beneficial as well.
Okay, so we'll ask him to be on the agenda for the regular meeting and then have an action item after his presentation.
That would be very good.
And then the transfer station. Had some discussion. A number of trustees said they opposed it. And it was corrected that we had a couple of people that were undecided. And we have any further direction on how we would like to proceed. Viewing, becoming more educated, doing nothing. Any comments?
I just wanted to address your comment earlier, where you were talking about decorating the city standard from the past conversation. The last thing that was very nice that from what you would pay from that, that the village board would be willing to spend no money to open it. I did want to point out that actually I just recently listened to our meeting minutes. And I do know that Trustee Clemens at that time did discuss at the meeting he responded because he mentioned it last time at the meeting too. He phrased it slightly differently at that time. He said that we needed, when you asked about what we would be willing to do and first thing at the end, or we are not looking at what we're going to do if we do oppose it. And then Trustee Clemens at the time did say that we should be out there starting to have those conversations with the residents and discussing what they are comfortable with us spending. It should be a decision from after we receive that feedback. So just wanted to say that I just recall did say that.
I also believe Trustee Clemens was being addressed. I mean, also did say that little money was going to be spent on it. I can go back and listen for much about that.
Yeah, it's good. Some of it is just got to find out what everybody's comfortable with, like, being allocated for it, and how far and how heavy it can be to hold it, how rapidly are we going to attack it versus, just sit back and say that you hold it, but we can't force anything with it, or we're going to go with it. Really is. So but that was a conversation that we wanted to discuss with the residents of the village to find out where they felt comfortable, because once again, it is tax dollars in general.
Yeah, their money would have to engage them in the conversation as to what.
I love that conversation, but I do appreciate that time we, did not say, it's not like you own it or your board or your innocent. It's what are we going to do about it? And what are we willing to have to do with it?
I think the question there from the beginning addressed is that we have been in similar situations where we're trying to fight an uphill battle specifically against the county, and it costs this village hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight that expense. So I'm just saying is that as the village considers to take a stand, let's make sure it's a meaningful stand that we're going to, and are we willing to expend that sort of money to fight it? Because once you bring in experts that have to go against what Flockwood's putting forward and then potentially go into a lawsuit to stop it, it's not going to be a couple hundred dollars spent on it. So any trustees that have been here long enough referencing the sewer agreement, we know that it is a potentially extremely crazy endeavor to go down. That's all I'm trying to point out. Just by saying no, the village either has to either stay away from the issue, potentially vote no from the qualified host agreement perspective, but more than likely it's going to pass, or if the village is all in, then the village needs to be allies.
Okay.
And I think the people that have attended the public education sessions with Groot, the former one on the construction and demolition site as well, the outspoken people have been asking what we're going to do to stop it, not whether we're going to try to stop it. So it comes down to, we have a group of concerned residents that want to know what action we're going to take. From the feedback that I've gotten from residents as well, there are other, probably quite a number of residents that don't care, it doesn't immediately affect them, they're not as close, so they're not as concerned, and I'm sure that they would wonder why we would throw money at fighting something that's an uphill battle, but that's something that our residents are waiting for answers from the board on how we're going to proceed on. So that's why I've been trying to get feedback from the board and from residents on what their expectations are.
I definitely agree with you to start having the conversation directed towards what and how much are you comfortable with us allocating towards this. And that's whenever somebody says, okay, but what are you going to do? That's what we need to actually start saying. How much do you want me to fight this? How much are you willing to have your tax potentially go? Because this is going to take away from another part of our, from our budget area. Or our reserves or whatever we have been accomplished somewhere. And this is where we need to make sure everybody understands when they are upset about it, let's find out how much and realize that we're going to have to do this commitment. There's no guarantee that we're going to win. So if you want to spend all this money and us not win it, and everybody's getting higher taxes, as much as we've all been fighting and I mean literally you guys have been doing a fabulous job of cutting the minimum is keeping up to what we really need to keep our community here strong, beautiful, but also by taking a little bit more of a minimalist approach than we have in the past years. And I really do, you know, commend you guys because you guys can do fabulous with all of that. And but yeah, I think we really do need to make that decision. You know, well, not that decision, but we need to have those conversations, I should say. And really pull the question down at this point in time. And then take that feedback and ask people, you know, when the budget comes in, share, what are you comfortable with?
And how do we get those residents in here? And how do we pick and choose those residents? Everyone
who talks to on a regular basis, or even when they know when they're on their phone, we ask the question, how do you feel?
Everybody's going to come in, and then you make that decision. You say, let's take it to the residents and say, what do you want to do? How much do you want to spend? What if we have the residents here? Where do we go with it then?
At that point in time, we get our own judgment.
Well, pretty much no residents show up, and that in itself is an indicator of how important it is.
I probably talked to at least 10 people out of Bright Meadows in the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks. Mentioned that tonight was our next board meeting. If you were concerned about it, could you please come to the meeting and voice your opinion? And we don't have any of those people here tonight, even people that said that they were concerned about. So that's a battle of how do we get to those people or when do we make the decision and state the facts. Does it make sense to fight it? Sorry, people that are concerned, or make a decision that we're going to do something about it.
I think there's another direction we can go at the same time, and maybe it's just a little more proactive than reactive. We've never even bothered to have discussions similar to a previous situation that we've spent a good amount of money on litigation that Mr. Bloom has mentioned. We haven't yet even had a discussion with Round Lake Park about talking about the impact that this puts on our village. You know, we're going and talking to our residents and we're talking amongst ourselves, but have we talked with the people who want to enact this and tell them, you know, sincerely, what we see our risks as being, our impacts as being? We haven't even had that conversation. So, you know, I'm sure there's many things we can do,
But I think it's going to come from many different directions and many different possibilities, and yes, the people are going to have input. But if we still haven't gotten all the information from those who want to start this program. Do we have any discussion or opening with them that we can say, these are our impacts, these are our worries, these are our concerns. What are you going to do as our local partners and neighbors to help protect our residents? We haven't had that. And yet this program supposedly has been going on since 2007 or 2009, one or the other. It's not something brand new. It's just not something that our administration has brought back up to the board. Something maybe over all these years we should have been tending to. This was working its way through the system. How come we get this now? After the late hour has come when discussion have now been lost, I think we need to go back to square one and ask for that discussion, ask for that time and their consideration and see what we can manage to stop or abate or curtail or even limit. We haven't had that discussion. And that was our problem with earlier litigation. We didn't have discussion with those parties prior that were meaningful enough to come to a possible agreement. We went into litigation. Litigation is expensive, and like Mr. Bloom said, you want to take all care not to go into that if you can avoid it. I still think we have enough opportunity to avoid it if we have the conversations with the right people. And sincerely.
Do we then start with SWAPCO and let SWAPCO know that
from a SWAPCO point of view, it's all a partnership of all the villages to be in the SWAPCO program, which is a Lake County program, basically. Once you're a part of it, you have certain expectations to be a part of it. You're supposed to be there to help SWAPCO continue. So I'm not saying, I think it's a part. It's not your end-all, be-all. It's not the only direction we should be going in. I think we should be sitting down with Round Lake Park. Let's have a discussion. You know, what is the benefit that they're really getting versus our detriment or our possible detriment? Have we had that conversation? No.
It's my understanding that they already have an agreement with the group, a host agreement. I don't know how binding that is. How binding is a host agreement?
Well, the host agreement, from a SWALCO point of view, is to meet SWALCO demands and needs, which eventually is to get their piece of the pie as well and put certain caveats in place for, you know, guidelines and such to follow within the SWALCO, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, the parameters or the basis for SWALCO. Again, I think that's only one piece of this puzzle. And I don't want us to be so myopic that we're only thinking about one way to go. You know, just because we passed an opportunity doesn't mean we can't come back around and try to fix that problem from the other point of view. You know, sometimes I think you get a lot with a little bit of honey than you get with a teaspoon of vinegar. So I think we should at least have that discussion with them and see what we can work out. We do need to protect our residents that are facing that area, and they have these very potential hazards to live with. But before we jump into let's make a decision, you know, and our final answer, I think we need to check back with them and have that dialogue. We've made that mistake in the past. We can't and shouldn't make it again.
As far as the sewer litigation, there were a couple of years of discussions, and all of the railway communities were in discussions with Lake County on that. Lake County refused to negotiate terms after they told the villages to submit an alternate proposal on the sewer agreement. So it's not like there weren't discussions that were had. And ultimately, the villages decided that litigation would be the best option for the three villages that went forward with it. I think what I heard is that you want to support SWALCO's basis of whether they agree with Raleigh's position or not. Clarify where we're at with that.
I'm not saying that exclusively. I'm saying that to be a member of SWALCO, we are expected to support SWALCO and what they stand for, et cetera. I guess what it comes down to is, are we going to be a supporting member in SWALCO, or are we not going to do that? And this was part of the issue that came back on Round Lake Park. You know, you don't have a host agreement. How can you be a supporting member? And that was actually a challenge on them. And how could they be a part of the whole problem if they support SWALCO? So we kind of, in some ways, I think we all sit in that same boat. You can't have one and have the other, and yet we sit in here, one and the other. We have to decide what we want to do. Support SWALCO, not support SWALCO. Do we want our support of SWALCO and SWALCO to be the answer to this group situation? Again, I think you're taking the myopic view, and you're discounting a possible other avenue. But yes, the board has to make some decisions. I assume that's where this is going. We were going to need to make some decisions on whether we want to continue to be in SWALCO. By being in SWALCO, you are asked to support them, and you are asked to move forward with them. And this is why, you know, one of the reasons I keep bringing up to the board, we have to increase our pickup. We have to increase the amount of things that come into our facility when we do collections. This directly impacts what we make in revenue. And when the prices go up for the cost of doing business with SWALCO as their partner, we receive less from SWALCO. The more we pick up our electronics, the more we throw into this, and the more we do, the more we raise that. We're also contending with, and we've talked about this before, some of these commodities that we take to SWALCO or pick up from SWALCO don't vet what they used to vet. And this is part of the problem SWALCO's having with their budget. They're not getting what they used to get, so they can't give us what we're used to getting. We're trying to raise the collection amount of the tonnage so that we can offset these balances. And actually, I think we've been doing pretty much better, especially since Ron is here. We are collecting a fair amount, and we are seeing some, you know, continual boosts. We need to work harder at it, and it just doesn't seem to be something that this board wants to move forward with great zeal. We always have something else on our plate that requires our attention a bit more and you know, more judiciously. We have to have the decision. Are we going to support SWALCO? Are we going to do our best to make it happen? Or are we going to not support SWALCO, leave SWALCO? And then we're not a green village either. You have good, you have bad. We're in a dilemma that we have to answer to.
Well, you can still support SWALCO. You can disagree with their position on a particular project, and that doesn't mean that you're not supporting SWALCO as a whole.
And yet, you know, when you sit in these meetings and you hear the banter back and forth, well, how can you say that? How can you be that if you're not supporting SWALCO? You're in SWALCO to support SWALCO. The whole point is for solid waste management of sorts. So do you agree with the program and not support the host to it? I mean, you know, you've got issues you have to look at.
If you have an issue as a community, you let SWALCO know you have an issue with that particular problem.
I think I've been pretty vocal with SWALCO and a few others that I have an issue with crews moving in for the garbage transfer station anyway. So I guess I'm saying, as far as, and going back to topic, on our transfer station updates, I think we should be having to sit down and try to negotiate something with Round Lake Park. Negotiations don't cost a whole lot of money. Then we know where we stand, we know what situation we're actually looking at.
So the other agrees that that's a reasonable approach. I think the other thing we have to factor in and figure out is how we want you as our representative to vote at the next meeting, right? Because they still haven't had a successful vote on this particular question, correct?
The conversations at all of these meetings, you know, the very first time we talked about an increase, there wasn't any option. This was basically what we're told. There are no options. We need to do this to continue operating. The following meeting, all of a sudden, then there's a little more talk about, well, you know, maybe we'll have to work something out. The last time I went to the Qualco meeting for this topic in particular, that's when Walter finally said, well, you know, we can do something. We can find it in the budget if you all disagree with it. And at that point, I have to say, I'm not in favor of spending our money or losing more of our money from our revenue if we don't have to. So it goes from, you know, this, we really need this, to now there might be an option. Well, yeah, you're going to lose me. Now you've opened up the door that there is negotiation if the villages decide they don't want to pay this fee. I would be inclined to vote no because it protects us for one thing. I have a feeling that the majority is going to go with the raise, but at that particular time when I come to the decision, we have no other options than to say no, then yeah, we should probably say no. I have not heard that we have had an option until more recently when Walter finally said, well, I think we can, whether, you know, he opened the door intentionally or not, but he brought that up from the board seat.
So when you had invited Walter, was it with the expectation that he should come with some of those suggestions, or was it just to answer some of our questions?
All of the above. Whatever he can bring, he's hoping to get a favorable response from our board on the increase. So whatever he believes he needs to bring to explanation to make everybody comfortable, that's fine. We've already said we'll have that on the agenda, have Walter's presentation, and have an action item that we can take action on after we hear from Walter. As far as the increase in the fee. The other thing that he had asked his Walter board was to be able to take a vote on the transfer station post agreement with Qualco should they have come to terms. Now, one of his concerns was they needed to have a positive response on the life cycle analysis from the meeting on Wednesday night. So we'll have opportunity to discuss that at our next meeting as far as giving direction to our representatives after we discuss that further. I'm not sure if we need official board action or a consensus.
We're in a situation we're not typically in. This is a first for me with anything of this nature, so it's a learning curve for any one of us that are going through that, let alone myself on that particular board. But again, I say, you know, we do need to look at the budget, and Greg is more than willing to help us go through it with a fine-tooth comb as well, and suggest possible budget cuts for Walter. I have to say, though, I think that their financial team has gone over this. As long as he opens the door that there may be other ways, I definitely want to see us explore and ask the questions for that. That said, we have to come to a decision how we want to vote and how we want to move forward and how that affects our position as being a member of Qualco too. You're going to be in the catch-22. If you say, we don't want to move forward with Bruce, we too will be basically charted out for how can you be a supporting member.
Well, yeah, I think we could probably go back to look at our previous votes. I'm sure we've supported most of their efforts in the past. Mm-hmm. This is one we have an issue with.
So much closer to our home.
Exactly.
And these are issues I feel, and there too, the vote for the host agreement has been buying us a great deal of time. It's let us get some more information. When we first found out about it, we had nothing given to us, and nothing brought to us from the history that some know well. So we're in this situation kind of late to the game. So the host agreement has been helping us to buy some time. It just helped us. Then we have to decide. If the host agreement is decided on, and do you guys want to go vote? I'll vote whatever you truly want. But this is something that are seen and heard of and because of all the situations that it is right now. You can't even imagine how this is going to unfold 2 weeks from now, let alone how it'll be in a year.
So it gets back to the question, too, with the park. Should we contact them and try and meet up with them?
You know,
do we have to get the mayor? I mean, what do we do?
I have never heard the discussion and possible negotiation coming together to try to work something out has been so detrimental. I think it's where we need to begin. And would they and their board, I know that because I don't think they're in litigation for anything, so, and they haven't filed a host agreement, so they would still be able to talk to us. Or not the host agreement,
I know at one point there was discussion because of the potential filing, they couldn't discuss it, and I'm not sure what
they haven't been
advised at this point.
Right.
The last they heard was that they had to avoid discussion on the project.
And that was if they did the filing,
We certainly asked if that's an option.
I think it's a place to begin.
So at this time, Mom Marion, we're going to ask for either give directive to a couple of trustees, mayors, those employees to kind of, we'll figure that out, to try and sit down and do a conversation about this, see if we can work something out further. I want to make sure I'm hearing that right, so we'll figure that out. And then we're also asking Walter if you can be coming to our next meeting for two parts, one for the increase, one for the host agreement. What I would like to ask if we can ask him if he can send us as much documentation in advance, because especially considering we're looking to take action immediately following his presentation, I think it's only fair that we can have some additional items to review so we can gather up the questions versus having it.
SWALCO does have the life cycle analysis that you submitted and posted on the website.
Right, and I just see that.
Give you a whole lot of information more.
But
is there anything other specific that you think or just let them know whatever comes out of today's meeting that he thinks may be beneficial for discussion?
What he would think would be beneficial, especially discussing the possibility of where he sees expenses could be cut out of their budget, would be great things for him to see preliminary guidance down. When we can have their budget
already.
And his additional suggestions as to where, I think those could only be things that would be a possibility. Mm-hmm. And then any additional information?
I think there were some suggestions in the one thing.
There was a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an additional one.
One of the main things was the chemical waste collection that do on-site in Gurnee at the SWALCO facility, and then they have the three off-site mobile collections. They were talking about that would be one of the main places mm-hmm. they would cut back on. That would make a big difference in the budget, just cutting back on the mobile hazardous waste collection. So, and then there were a couple other minor things that you discussed that cover shortfall that we're seeing as a potential numbers.
The other thing too, and I've been forwarding the information to Mark every time something comes in, is a way for us to either help increase our revenue or increase our collections, if you will. We keep forwarding these, I keep forwarding these to Mark, and we as a board probably have to, we do. We have to stop just listening to the report and, oh, okay, we have to start making an action. I know that Vicki and I in particular had decided we wanted to do some sort of a something downstairs to make a point about collection, and then they came out with a poster. One of the things that Walter will tell you is that we can reach out for more help. And actually we did for the Christmas with Santa. We had a table here. I think, quite frankly, we need to step it up a lot because it's our collections that are going to help to balance our revenue from Walco. And quite frankly, this is nothing new either. Even when Davis was still a member on Walco, we're not actually making Walco a winner for us. We never really have. So there has never been an importance in moving Swalco much more forward. We've just seemed to stick in status quo, and there has been no directive, no help, anything that says, okay, we need to take a more serious look at this possible revenue stream, especially while we're economically, trying to hold down our budget and use every possible revenue stream to our benefit. This has been a benefit that, I can report on twice a month, and we just don't seem to get a move on, get a start on it. We need to.
Could we look at possibly combining collections with our events where people are already coming?
Well, this has always been a mixed bag of feelings. Whatever we collect, we have to hold it until we get rid of it. And if Swalco's doing our event with us, they supply the truck that they okay.
They bring the trailer, they bring the cardboard boxes and the tablets.
So we need to look at a way if we're going to do it for special events, we need to talk with Swalco and open that door to how can we do a mini event, keep all of our costs down and still get the materials sent back to Swalco, because will they pick it up? Won't they pick it up? How do we get it there? These are all charges that we take on the cost.
Every time they come out, we're charged.
Well, every time we participate, yeah, we're not bringing in what it costs necessarily.
Would there be an opportunity for us? I know you've been reporting the pickup. Well, we could, we have room. We have room here where we can literally have people just come in during the regular hours and make their drop. I know for me, my schedule is so chaotic. And every time it's scheduled, unfortunately, it doesn't work with my schedule. I always mention that some person's a random date when I find out, literally 2 hours in advance that, hey, I'm going to have a couple of 3 hours, no kids for a few minutes, I can go run and drop off everything I want.
I still have my ear monitor sitting in my garage as of late that I will get there, but it's not been convenient for me too. However, if we choose to have drop-offs, not all drop-offs are acceptable. Not everything is allowed to be put into this collection. So somebody has to be on hand to say, can we take this? Can't we take this? Where am I going to put it? How am I going to lock it? Because everything has a process. So now we're talking about more man hours that we don't necessarily have, but can we make? I think this is one of those items we've had in the special committee of the whole meetings about, and this might be one that we take up on some of our soon free time and come up with a solution for it. I know we need Ron's input, and we've had other things going on with snow coming and so many other things. Again, it gets put on the back burner. We have to take it off the back burner to bring it forward.
And somehow I'm thinking, because we have, I know it's here in this building alone, or the little area off the side of the waste space. There we go, we can finally find a use for that space, and that gives us like a whole for a collection area. Because it's not like we're talking about people bringing garbage waste, they're bringing the electronics and things like that they can't only dump. We can recycle them. That could be another option. Like a hole there, and then when we do have our questions, then they moved over at that time. And we do have staff on hand here, so it's not going to be much more visible to people when they come to pay their water bill or
something that might bring something in at that time, it may be much more convenient at that time for somebody else who's going to come into that quick drop-off. I suppose it's my additional idea that how we can help increase it by making it available versus
all the time versus just now and then.
Right, and that's a little hard to keep track of. I mean, I'll put my water bill and then I realize I completely missed it.
There are a couple of facilities that have a full-time drop-off. Grant Township has a container out at their site. The Village of Waukesha also has a container on their site where people can drop off free.
The only downside is that we're not collecting it. It's not coming towards our revenue. So why not keep the container on site? We have people here already during the day, and I'm not saying we're probably going to have, you know, five people every single day bring something in, but you have one here and there. It shouldn't be too tedious to do the quick, okay, no, you can't bring that. They have to check it before they can get over to that area.
So are we directing staff on the investigative action feasibility of that?
I would like to see that.
I think we have discussed that in, to some extent, past the month in the containment. I don't recall where we went with this. Mike, you get the comment?
Just point of patience and flip-flop, I mean, I was a delegate on there. Recycling is one very small section of flop cover. Flop of main responsibility is oversight of the two landfills in Lake County. So, while I appreciate the discussion, it seems like it's getting off track on recycling, and that's going to be the big favorite flop point. It's not. I believe the number was thrown up. I believe that $138,000 has just been consulting. That's not consulting on recycling. That's consulting on someone overviewing the two landfills within the county to make sure that they're up to speed or within regulation. That's their main responsibility. So if Waco needs to look for more money, they need to look for money in areas where they have main responsibilities for, meaning that they should renegotiate their deals with waste management on the two landfills. That's certainly a question you could ask Mr. Willis here, but I believe that recycling is a small endeavor in SWALCO's overall kind of charter, their main responsibility, and why they even exist is the arm of Lake County to manage both landfills that are within the county.
And the future of the solid waste.
And the future of solid waste will let it support transfer station.
The part that they're asking from us primarily is to move the recycling portion ahead because that's where we as the village get the most immediate possible revenue. So it's a mixed bag. We obviously, SWALCO's here for a lot of reasons. And actually, I would love to have that brought forward. Exactly what is SWALCO designated to be doing and exactly what part of this is this village to that agreement and to that necessary end.
And Walter's looking into textile recycling and shoe recycling.
The shoe recycling.
I believe there's a market
institution. Clothes.
All textiles. Yes. Yeah.
And they're also talking about carpeting, again, textiles, but carpeting in particular, because the landfill, if I'm not mistaken, that's the formaldehyde that is emitted, so more issues with that. There's so many underlying factors that SWALCO is responsible for, so it would be interesting for us to all get a lesson exactly on what the agency does. In fact.
Suggested new topics?
Well, I'm usually fingers small for that.
Nothing new. Executive session not. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Newby, second by Clemens, all in favor.
Aye.
Motion carries.